Hey, friends, welcome to another podcast. We appreciate you guys so very much. We got my brother from New York, Claude Stauffer, in the house. And we're going to talk about whether or not, you've heard this, Donald Trump is the Antichrist or Savior. What exactly is he? And we've heard Elon Musk. We're just going to debunk some of this with my pastor brother in just a minute on Worldview Matters. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Worldview Matters. Discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Hey, friends, welcome. I want to bring in my brother, Claude Stauffer, and you want to go to his website and check out his great blogs at shepherdofhope.org. That's shepherdofhope.org. And he pastors in New York. Brother, so thankful for your time again today. Good to see you.
It's always good to join you. I love your show, too. I love your show. It's really been great lately. It's been awesome.
Thank you. Well, that's the guests. I just try to ask the right questions and let the guests just go, and they're the experts, right? But I have had some wonderful people on. And that blesses and encourages me. But before we get rolling with this idea, to talk about what the idiocy we're hearing sometimes, Trump's the Antichrist. And you even hear this in churches from progressive Christians and others. But you've got a brand new book out. We're going to get to this the next time we have you on. But since I haven't had a chance to read it, I want to put this up there. Jeff, go ahead and throw up the cover, because it is right now, friends, available on Amazon, Your Greatest Patriotic Duty. And what does it mean to make America truly great? We know what is said about making America great or making America great again. What does great mean? Define great, but truly great. I'm sure you take a spiritual perspective, a biblical perspective on how to make this country truly great. And so you poured your heart into this, as you shared with me before we got on. So I just want to make sure people know it's available on Amazon. It is also available at shepherdofhope.org, correct?
Not the book.
Okay.
You can get a link. It's just on. It's just under my name on Amazon under the title. It's okay. Available in paperback, hardback, Kindle, and also audiobook.
Wow, really? That's interesting. That would be nice if you want to. If you like his New York accent, you can get the audio version. Hey,
don't hold that against me.
Hey, by the way, I was watching you last night. You didn't even realize that I was spying on you. You do a Wednesday night service, and brother, I appreciate you. Yeah, I believe you were teaching the Old Testament, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. Wednesday night service at Calvary Chapel of Hope in Amityville, correct? Tell us about that, right, and how people can tune in.
Well, if you go to calvarychapelofhope.org, you can find our website. On our website, there also have a link to our radio station, WGSS 89.3 FM. And if you just go on YouTube and search for Calvary Chapel of Hope, you'll find our site. And there's a number of teachings there. On Wednesday nights, I teach in the Old Testament. On Sunday mornings, we teach on the New Testament. And presently, on Sundays, we're in Romans chapter 12. We're going to be talking about spiritual gifts. And on Wednesday, we just started a study on the minor prophet, prophetic book of Amos. And that's a fantastic, those minor prophets are fantastic portions of scripture. Not everybody is familiar with them, but they're really a portion of scripture that shouldn't be neglected.
And I thank you for doing that. A lot of pastors kind of avoid the Old Testament and even prophecy. And that's for a whole nother podcast. I'm sure we've talked a little bit about that in the past, how some churches just don't want to dig into Bible prophecy. And what is it, between one-third and a quarter or a third of the Bible is prophecy? And
yeah, 27% of the Bible is prophetic. And Jesus fulfilled upwards of 300 prophecies in his first coming, and he's still, you know, he's promised to return. So he fulfilled those prophecies in his incarnation. We can be just as confident that he's going to return just as he said he would.
Amen. It's a head scratcher, brother. I mean, I know a lot we can analyze, overanalyze it. I think some pastors didn't get great training in seminary, because seminary shifted to church growth and other things, maybe got away from the inerrancy of Scripture and the whole counsel of God and the Old Testament and prophecy. And it's really sad, but that's a reflection of the church today, the biblically illiterate church. But we have the people I have on this show. I'm so blessed to hear their teachings and their stance and their perspective on things. And now let's bring it into what's going on in America right now. There's a battle with Doge. There's some people are actually resisting and fighting against the Trump administration finding waste and fraud and I mean billions of dollars that's been sent wasted our taxpayers going overseas, and there are Democrats that are coming against everything Trump does. It really is a time of delusion, because you think, okay, if you're an American, wouldn't you want to save money? Wouldn't you want more money to go to the taxpayer? Wouldn't you want the debt to be paid down? Your quick thoughts on that before we jump into this and answer the question, is Trump the Antichrist?
Actually, the Department of Government Efficiency is actually discovered, they've only been operating for about a month, and they've already found upwards of, I think, $4.7 trillion. Trillion dollars. So,
wow.
It's an incredible, and they haven't even really gotten to the meat of government to look at these things. But, you know, they're looking at the Social Security recipients, and they're finding people, you know, all these people that are over, you know, some of them are 200 years old and are still receiving Social Security payments. And, you know, I'm a senior. So, you know, that kind of riles me up a little bit. But, you know, it's really those that oppose the Department of Government Efficiency really expose themselves when they oppose that, because who wouldn't want your government to be more, to operate more efficiently,
right?
Who wouldn't want graft and corruption to be exposed? Well, obviously those who are guilty of it, right? And that's really what we see. And boy, I thank the Lord every day for Elon Musk and what he's doing. I mean, the man doesn't know the Lord, but he certainly is an instrument to kind of make our country great again in terms of getting it back to a more efficient running government and exposing all of the corruption and the you know, it's incredible that anybody would oppose that.
Okay, so and I heard one commentator, and I agree with him last night, say that typically the people that are opposing are the ones that are either getting some sort of kickbacks or some sort of money from some of this overseas stuff, getting something in return. It's just really amazing corruption. But you said something very interesting about Elon Musk not being a believer, and yet he's doing something good for the country. Friends, if you're a Christian and have a biblical worldview, wouldn't you want America to be preserved, strengthened? We've been weakened. They have tried to dismantle our nation morally, spiritually, economically, militarily. My goodness, dumbing us down, the education. The left has done a masterful job, and it's evil, but they've done a great job at dumbing down and weakening, dismantling. So wouldn't you want, whether someone's a Christian or not, to be working in the business of America, of preserving us, of helping us? Claude, could you speak to that for a moment? Because a lot of Christians need a healthy perspective biblically on whether someone who's not a Christian. And President Trump, we don't know exactly where he stands. But I mean, in the Old Testament, God used Cyrus, King Cyrus, Isaiah 45. God uses kings and other people to help nations. Go ahead.
Well, God uses imperfect instruments. If he didn't use imperfect instruments, you and I wouldn't be here, and no one would be used. But I think it's important for us. I think there are some Christians who over spiritualize their worldview and say, "Well, why should I be patriotic? Why should I care about America?" And this is one of the things that I talk about in my book, Your Greatest Patriotic Duty. But some people try to apply, you know, 2 Chronicles 7:14 to America. That if my people repent and return, you know, I'll revive them. But that's really not a good application. That verse spoken by Solomon on the day that he dedicated the temple was more aimed at Israel. But there is another portion of scripture spoken by Jeremiah the prophet in Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 5 through 11, where there's a more broader statement that's made that if a nation that has judgment been pronounced upon. If a nation repents, that the Lord will relent and the Lord will hold back his judgment. And I kind of think, this last election was the product of much prayer. People were really praying because they really understood the crisis and the pivotal nature of this recent presidential election. And I think the outcome was the product of much prayer. And look, President Trump, he's like any other human. He's imperfect. He's flawed. You may not like him. You might not think that he's sensitive or empathetic or sympathetic to people, but the Lord is using that man. And I think it's very interesting that he did d literally dodge a bullet, and did so courageously that and when you look at President Trump, his whole thing is making America great again. It's actually anti-Antichrist, because the Antichrist is someone who's going to want to unite the world under his control. President Trump is not that at all. He is pompous, if you want to call it that. He is proud. He is arrogant and haughty. But the thing that his priority is making America great again. And he went he spoke to the all of the globalists at Davos, and really just refuted them and shot them down. If he was Antichrist, he'd go in there and he'd be really trying to smooth them over. So I really have a difficult time with those that contend that President Trump is the Antichrist. I think there's a lot of reasons why, and he's just not the Antichrist. And really, in many ways, to say that President Trump is the Antichrist is to sell Antichrist short. I love President Trump. I think he's great. But he's not the level, I don't think, that the Antichrist will ultimately be.
So some of you just heard Claude say, "I love President Trump," and I mean, I respect what he's doing, policies. I respect that, not necessarily his personality. But some of you may have heard that and think, "Well, this pastor's idolizing President Trump." I'm thinking, okay, do you love a professional athlete? Do you love your favorite NFL team's quarterback? Do you ever say, "I love so and so"? Come on, come on now, let's be real. Just because we happen to say, "I love this guy, I love what he's doing," and he happens to be a politician, you better be careful, friends, with the hypocrisy. And that's just my little 2 cents. Would you like to clarify, say anything more about that, Claude?
Well, I just there's a verse in scripture that speaks about the latter days, and it says to be watchful. But then in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "Above all else, have a fervent love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sin." And I think that in the end times, there's going to be deception. In the end times, the devil is going to be working overtime to divide us. And I'm not at all insinuating that we should overlook sin. I think you have to deal with sin. I think when someone is acting in a sinful way, or even when a nation acts in a sinful way, that as a Christian, we're obligated to take a stand and to point that out, right? It tells us in Ephesians 5:11, have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. And excuse me, but so when I say I love President Trump, it doesn't mean that I ignore his flaws.
Amen. That's a
This
good
means I
perspective.
embrace him. Look at all he's doing. He's exposing corruption in the government. He's putting things in place to protect Christianity against persecution. I mean, this country has been persecuting Christians ridiculously. He's for freedom of speech. He's holding people accountable who need to be held accountable, whether they're foreign people or whether they're domestic. There's a lot to like. There's a lot that he's doing. He's the first president to actually speak and make his presence known at the life meeting a
The
few
March for
years ago.
Life. Yep, March for
Right,
Life, right?
the pro-life march, right? He did that.
And J.D. Vance was there
So
this year.
yeah, and as in terms of the Antichrist, one of the things it says that is that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is that the Antichrist will exalt himself as God. Right? Now, when you look at President Trump, he's not shy about taking credit for things, right? He
Patting himself
certainly
on the back, right?
but he is very distinctively clear on giving credit to God, right? He even said that the Lord was the one that spared him, and he feels that he's on a mission to make America great again. And he gives glory to God. And look at the inauguration, look at the prayers that were prayed, look at the worship that was held there. The impetus for the book that I wrote on your greatest patriotic duty was a shortly right after he gave his acceptance speech, there was a short video of his supporters breaking out in worship and singing "How Great Thou Art." And I got to tell you, David, when my wife called me over to watch this, and when I did, I was getting a lump in my throat, and I was just thinking to myself, "Oh my goodness, Lord, you're answering our prayers. Look at this. This is not only a political revival. This could lead to a spiritual revival,
It
right?" And I
could,
think
yes.
we have a great opportunity before us. If all we do is clear the books and bring the books, balance the books politically, and get people in place and things, if all we have is a political victory, then I think we've missed the mark. I think what this is a tremendous opportunity to go beyond that, to have a real live, awakening, a great awakening, a revival in our country that hopefully would spread to the world.
So, friends, how do you respond when people say Trump is the Antichrist? We're going to get into the nuts and bolts of Pastor Claude's article when we come back on Worldview Matters.
Introducing Patriot Mobile, the wireless carrier that stands with you. We are committed to supporting the values that make our nation great. With affordable plans and reliable nationwide coverage, Patriot Mobile is not just a wireless service. It's a call to action for those who believe in the American dream.
Get free activation now with promo code David. Still going strong, friends. Man, thanks to you, your support. Our episodes have been surging. We are averaging still 250,000 views, listens, and downloads. Particularly the downloads have skyrocketed just in the last couple of weeks. We've got people working on this behind the scenes, but it is getting out there regardless. So thank you. Pastor Claude Stauffer is with us, the website Shepherd of Hope, shepherdofhope.org. So you say that President Trump has repeatedly expressed a favorable attitude towards Christianity. He's a staunch supporter of Israel. He is the only president to stand at the March of Life. He is a protector and proponent of conservative values, and appointing Christian nominees, righting the wrongs perpetrated by the previous administration. And he said he wants his legacy to be that of a peacemaker. One more thing, and I'll let you respond, Claude. By the way, these are reasons, friends, President Trump could not be the Antichrist. Antichrist is not for sovereign borders or nations, but will rise to rule the world in a globalist system. And Trump famously said in his first term as president, when he was speaking at the UN, America will never be a globalist nation. Go ahead and share more on this, Claude.
Well, that is one of the main keys, right? That the whole premise, the whole mantra, I hate to use that word, but the whole emblem of the Trump candidacy from the very start has been to make America great again. He's not a globalist at all. I mean, you look at the other previous administrations, the Biden administration, the Obama administration, even going back to a certain extent to Clinton, to the Bushes. I mean, when especially now in hindsight, we see, George Bush Sr. talking about a global network. And this is not Trump at all. Trump is not like that at all. He's pointing out how the United States has been ripped off internationally. He's calling to account the nations of Europe, that they support themselves instead of relying so heavily on America financially and even militarily. He wants to be a peacemaker. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God." So to me, that his whole desire and objective to be known as a peacemaker is evidence that, Trump, he everything he says, he doesn't, sometimes he speaks, it seems like he's speaking off the cuff, but I think he's very intentional in things that he says. And to say that he wants to be a peacemaker gives me hope that the man is, closer to the Lord than we give him credit for.
I just want to read another quote from a section of your article, "Is Trump the Antichrist?" And you just wrote this last month. It says, "President Trump is not perfect. His MAGA movement is a political movement that welcomes some groups I wouldn't. But veiling never Trumper or Trump derangement syndrome sentiments by trying to label him Antichrist or evil is counterproductive to the patriotic good he is trying to accomplish, as well as being a pawn of his opposition, who actually are globalist establishment players being used by forces of evil or forces of darkness." Please continue along these lines, Claude.
Well, we look at his nominees, the nominees that he's chosen, especially someone like Hegseth, who
Pete
seems to
Hegseth,
be
yeah.
not perfect either, but he seems to be a solid Christian. Now, Tulsi Gabbard and Kash Patel, they're, I believe, are Hindu, but still they have a strong patriotic fervor and worldview, making that to make America great again. Now, the thing I think that we often, miss on or get the wrong idea of, we don't elect a pastor. Now, the president can serve in pastoral ways when there's a crisis, like we saw in the Carolinas when the hurricanes hit, or when we see the wildfires and people are losing their homes, or when there's some kind of a national catastrophe. There, a president has to have a certain element of pastor in him, of shepherding, to take care of the citizens of the country. But he's, for the most part, President Trump is, he's a businessman, and he has sought political office, not pastoral office. And so,
That's
these are the things that President Trump is really proving to be an exceptional and extraordinary candidate and president, unlike we've seen in many times. Just to say that he's fulfilling his promises. That in and of itself is extraordinary as a president.
Yeah, it's not just a slogan, promises made, promises kept. He's doing it. And his defense usually is, "That's what they elected me to do." So the vast majority of people, I mean, he won the swing states. He turned some blue counties red, and even in blue states, it really is astounding. Why? Because he's pretty transparent. He's pretty, he'll say something. You don't have to guess where he's coming from. This is what he ran on. The border is a huge issue. The economy and what he's doing now, looking for waste, fraud, corruption. This is what he ran on. But I want to share another quote and let you expound. We've got 4 minutes left. Claude, you said, "I do not endorse everything my country does, but I do believe our country is the best country. And I also think we are living in an atmosphere," and you alluded to this earlier, "that is very conducive to forwarding the Great Commission. I do believe the Holy Spirit is working and restraining evil in answer to our prayers." Share a little bit more about that, because we see that happening.
Well, I think, as a Christian, I don't think that you can scripturally support the idea that Christians should be isolationists. I just
No.
don't believe that. Jesus said to be salt, to be light. And I think that our calling from the Lord is to infiltrate society and influence it for the glory of God through the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what I believe. So I believe that as Christians, if we are isolating and remaining out of politics and out of the public square, I think we're missing a tremendous opportunity, especially now, in this present political climate. I think there's tremendous opportunity for us to get involved on local levels, school boards, just local politics, state politics, federal politics. I think that just and not just politics, but everywhere we are as Christians, we should be the ambassadors of the Lord. Like it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where it says we are ambassadors of the Lord, and it's as though God is calling the lost to be reconciled to him, begging him. I think that's got to be our heart, because I do believe we're living in the end times. I do believe the Jesus return is right. He's right at the door, and so time is short. We need to pull out all the stops and start reaching out to the lost like never before. And I
Amen.
think the political climate is conducive to that right now. I think people they're starting to listen. They're starting to wake up. They're seeing all this corruption. They're questioning. This is the perfect climate to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. And with a solid apologetic or even a polemic, go on the offensive.
Yeah, I mean, look what's happened on some college campuses. That's very fascinating, especially Ohio State. Now, I'm a Michigan guy, right? But I admire what's going on at Ohio State. I pulled for their team to win the national championship, and sure enough, they gave glory to Jesus, not just God, not just thank you, we're blessed. Glory and honor to Jesus Christ. But I want to share something that I posted last week, and we got to wrap this up. Truth must be told, battles must be fought, evil must be resisted, the gospel must be proclaimed, Christ must be first, his church must take a stand, children must be protected, parents must wake up, believers must speak up, demonic agendas must be confronted and exposed, God must be glorified, and we must understand the times and not give up. That's on my personal Facebook page from last week. Claude, next time we have you on, I will have this book read, and hopefully some in the audience will have picked this up as well. So if you're watching or listening, Your Greatest Patriotic Duty by Claude Stauffer. What does it mean to make America truly great? 45 seconds, your closing thoughts, brother.
My closing thoughts are be in prayer for our country. Pray
Yes.
for revival. Pray, someone has said the best way to start a revival is to draw a circle around yourself and pray for the person inside that circle. I think we need to be praying. I think we need to be in God's word. I think we need to be seeking the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to use us however he sees fit, and be bold as a lion, folks. Read the book of Daniel and look at Daniel and Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, how the Lord used them in a political setting, and he can use us too, wherever we are, at work, in school, in the public square, in politics. Don't put any restrictions. Just be used by the Lord to be his ambassador.
Perfect. Ambassadors for Christ, not secret agents. Brother, to be continued. Good to see you. Thanks for your time. God bless you, friends. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.